Welcome, and you are listening to the Auburn Daily Podcast. I'm your show host for the podcast. My name is Alex, also better known as Auburn Memes. You've probably heard me. I've been a show guest on the Auburn Express, powered by the War Report podcast now for going on to nearly 2 years. Crazy to think about. I have been doing Auburn coverage and content for quite a while on and off. I'm dating back to my time 10 plus years ago as a student, beginning my work with the War Eagle Reader. And I have done a few different things in other places, including photography, multimedia work, production, and of course, Twitter. So I'm super pumped having the opportunity to reach out to the staff at the Auburn Daily to talk about what we could do to really revamp this show and kind of give it a new beginning. So think of this as like the new Auburn Daily podcast. Some really exciting things that we're going to have up on the horizon here. Going to have a nice variety of rotating show guests. We're trying to bring in different and unique perspectives and thoughts, thought-invoking thoughts. We want folks to listen to the show and say, wow, you know, I hadn't thought of that angle necessarily before. And that is going to be the goal to this. My role here will be more on the side of a host, MC, producer side, and I really want to get some awesome folks on here, a lot of brains, and of course, most importantly, I want to get listener and fan input. I want this show to be driven by the fans themselves and really have it go in a direction that folks want to hear. So guys, that is going to be what we're really looking forward to do here. I'm super excited to begin this journey and start this going on. So that is kind of the brief introduction, and as we get this thing rolling, just be tuned in. It's going to be a lot of really cool stuff. This episode is going to be really, really simple to kind of get it started. I'm going to be rocking the mic solo. That won't be the normal thing moving forward, but we had a really big game yesterday. There's a lot of storylines, so we had to get to it. So it's going to be tough. Maybe not everybody's looking forward to getting to this one, but guys, it's time to look back at yesterday and talk about this Auburn versus Texas A&M game. Auburn goes to College Station, end up losing 27-10, an 11 a.m. game, one that I think most people, for the most part, were chalking up as a loss anyway. I think if you look back, I know I was saying it. I had this game circled as a loss. I was never feeling good about this game, and I think for the most part, minus those who were getting a little too overly optimistic, this is one that even the most orange and blue goggles you probably had as a toss-up game. So why are we looking at this? Why is everybody just so emotional, just grinding their teeth right after this loss? Well, let's break this down a little bit here. Okay, a few things. You look at what Washington did to Cal. At halftime, that game was 45-12. Now, yes, Washington is very likely at this point in the season a playoff-contending team. Don't think it's a hot take to say Washington is a lot better than Auburn. Thank goodness we didn't play them instead of Cal. But needless to say, is the talent gap that big to where Cal puts up 45 points and a half and Auburn can't even scavenge a fraction of that through the entire game? Okay, well, let's look over at the Georgia game. Tune in to see Georgia play UAB yesterday. UAB was putting multiple, like, sustained drives down the field on UGA. Now, granted, that game ended quite handedly in Georgia's favor, but all the same, UAB was able to put some drives together. Not something Auburn has been. They're competent drives. I mean, it was just, it looked like it was a very well-scripted game plan to match up well for what Georgia had. And yet Auburn can't move the ball whatsoever against Texas A&M. And we're seeing that with other teams in the SEC, too. You see other teams, and you're just sitting there scratching your head and say, wow, this team's offense can actually move the ball. They may not be putting up points. They may be getting a few first downs and having to punt inevitably, but they're still like just getting out there and making something happen. It is not just an engine that is completely stalled. And well, why is that? Why is it even more frustrating? Well, let's just look back at history here. Auburn is now on their third coach in a row that is supposedly an offensive-minded guru, the offensive coach, a coach who had played quarterback in some cases, but all of which had the reputations of either high-powered offense, quarterback whispering, in Hugh Freeze's case, program turnaround, these fun, electric, the strength of these teams are always on the offensive side, but yet here we are with the person who was supposed to come in and fix this after the last guy, and we're still seeing the same problems after we've hit the reset button multiple times in a very short amount of period. Well, let's zoom that in even further and say what has been another common denominator for that has been quarterback play. still very inconsistent under all of these coaches. Now, minus the longer tenure, of course, with Gus, you had some flashes in the pan, but you never really felt like there was consistency. You never felt like the next guy up was going to be that guy. And well, what does history tell us? It wasn't. Constantly having to have your quarterback situation saved by a transfer quarterback is getting a little old for Auburn people. I know it is for me. And let's get into it, too. The game versus A&M was a winnable game. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more later, so I don't want to spend too much time harping on that. But with all of these things, you really just felt like the team was going backwards as the play was going on. Not only just for that game, but all the momentum that you had really felt you were gathering for all these months. And like I said, this is a game that most people didn't think Auburn was going to win. But even in your losses, you want to have something that you can kind of hold your hat on. All right, well, I'll say one. There's not many, so not a hard list to pick from. But your defense played pretty well. All things stacked up against them. Injuries going down. Major props to Donovan Kaufman. Guy kept getting knocked down. Kept coming back up. Props to him for being tough as nails. Down a few other guys. Wegman had been absolutely lighting it up in the air. He was almost at 1,000 yards in their first three games. So this was definitely going to be a matchup of juggernauts of their quarterback play and passing game versus Auburn secondary, strength on strength. Did not expect this game to go the way it was as far as that matchup went. But that was something that we can take away from this ugly, ugly game and say the defense looked improved. They made the stops they needed to make. And on paper, minus that garbage time touchdown Texas A&M got, if you held them to 20 points going in midway through the fourth quarter, you're telling me this isn't a game that Auburn could have easily had in control? I don't think you could have asked your defense to do a whole lot more realistically, all things considered. But like I said, the focus on this one is going to be the offense of the ball. So you look at what was going on specifically at quarter play. It's just a completely gut-wrenching, just wind out of your sails loss. It wasn't like it was bad. It was anemic. It was non-existent. It was historically bad. Bad and growing pains is one thing, but historically bad makes you say, okay, the ship doesn't have a hole. The ship is already halfway underwater. What do we do? The passing numbers for this game were so historically bad. I went back and tried to look this up 20-plus years, sent a tweet about it. You're talking 2016 Georgia, Sean White game. These are games that had less than 56 passing yards for all quarterbacks combined. You go back to 2016 Georgia. That was an ugly game. Don't need to talk about that one too much. Ironically, 2013 Tennessee, which Auburn just absolutely blew the brakes off Tennessee in Knoxville, got 55 points up on them. Nick Marshall, I think, only had to pass the ball like five or six times. So that's just wild that they just beat Tennessee. He got 55 points and had under 10 pass attempts. Not even just completed passes, pass attempts. So that's definitely an anomaly there, and that just is a microcosm of just how funny and wild the 2013 season was as a whole. So we're not really going to look at a win where you didn't pass because fundamentally you just didn't have to. Auburn was just playing with an Xbox controller that game. And then 2016, UGA again, another very ugly passing game through the air. And there were a few that were sprinkled under there that were under 100, but to be worse than this one, three dating back 20 years, one of which didn't really count because it was a win. So that is two losses. So that is a historically bad game. And 2006 might be a little tough to remember, but we definitely remember that 2016 game, kind of how those feelings were. You got to multiply this one for being much worse, all the other recency bias things considered as well. And then on top of that, all of the bad things, this game was still within reach of Auburn. Texas A&M, I will say, necessarily wasn't playing incredibly well at lights out. They were definitely beatable on a lot of different fronts. You were in this game at the end of the fourth. You were driving down the field within the fourth quarter to make it a three-point game. And then even in the first half, it was a three-point game going into halftime. As ugly as Auburn had made it, they were doing just enough and keeping Texas A&M from doing just enough to not let this one just be a complete blowout throughout the entirety of most of the game. And I will just say, taking it here, I think it's going to be bad for A&M. Look how the Cal discrepancy was between Washington, how Auburn was keeping this as close with Texas A&M at home. I do think Texas A&M has a lot of talent at a lot of key places. There's something going on with this team to where they're not tapping into the maximum amount of talent, and I think it is going to be some rough waters ahead for A&M and the SEC. We'll see how that ends up panning out. But A&M should have beaten Auburn by more, given how this quarterback play really, really was. And then also, too, you got to look at it going back to the offensive coaching standpoint. It just did not appear. Now, rewatching the game, more information comes out. Press conference recording this all before that. Did not appear that it looked like there was any coaching adjustments. Maybe they tried and it was just that bad, too little, too late. You didn't see any results from it. And then you look back at, well, this is not a healthy aspect of this. It's just the reality. What are your exes doing? What are the other QBs that had left your program doing? Bo Nix lighting it up, TJ Finley lighting it up, and of course you got to laugh at Zach Calzada and Incarnate Ward lighting it up. We're down so bad right now in the quarterback situation. There are people even posting about, hey, maybe if TJ Finley were still here, this all wouldn't be so bad. And if that's the point where we're at, a guy that people were pretty happy to exit this program, if you're backpedaling that much on that, sarcastic or not, that is not a healthy place for the heads to be. So, I want to break down a little more things about this loss here. If you had told me, and why this game was within reach, if you had told me, just no context, just these key things, Auburn is within 3 points at the half, A&M only has 20 points with 5 minutes left in the fourth. A&M has only scored 20. A&M's QBs have only completed 15 passes. Auburn has no turnovers. A&M had one fumble that Auburn recovered for a touchdown. Batty and Jarquez have an average rushing of 7.4 and 5.9 respectively. And then also Auburn wins time of possession. I would have very, very much leaned to the fact that, oh my gosh, Auburn did the thing. They won the game. You just take those little bullet points there and say, okay, that's some winnable categories right there. Might have been close. Could have been a close game. Man, Auburn did what they needed to do. Quarterback plays just average. You win this game. Even a little below average, I think they probably still could have won this game. All of those things considered, I would not have expected them to rush the ball as well as they did, especially with how talented A&M's front seven was. That was kind of a wild one for me to see. So what could it have possibly been that made all of those things and this game just not be winnable ended up being a 17-point game and honestly probably should have been worse? And, I mean, not to mention, I'm not mentioning this because obviously wish him nothing best, we don't ever see injuries, but A&M's starting quarterback went down midway through the game. So you're playing a backup quarterback. And that's another thing that is just an absolute pain point that I forgot to mention earlier. Why in the world is every time, dating back 10 decade plus, every time Auburn seems to face up a backup QB, that backup QB always just comes in to absolutely light Auburn up. It's a double pain point. One, because it always seems to happen. But two, you look at your own roster and say, wow, how come we don't have a backup quarterback that's coming in the game to light people up? Which is a great segue to the quarterback point. Been waiting to save this one a little bit because this is the hot topic of the game, the quarterback play. Does it really need to be said? Do we really have to look at Peyton Thorne too hard here and say, where was the problem? Don't necessarily like blaming players. Don't really like throwing anybody under the bus here. But fundamentally, just the position room as a whole, and obviously there's coaching, there's game planning, there's line plays, a whole bunch of different things that go into this. But we have to talk about Peyton Thorne here. When Peyton Thorne came into Auburn, the biggest appeal for him, what was the selling point on Peyton Thorne? Is here's a guy who's a veteran. You saw the talent potential for Robbie, you see the talent potential for Holden, but you said, the experience. And even Robbie's experience last year had some shaky moments around, 49% passing. If you were Hugh Freeze, do you really want to bet everything on that? No, you need to get your own guys in here. So it made sense. I mean, the story always was Auburn was going to get a transfer quarterback. And it really made sense, too. They weren't just going to go get some talented freshman or sophomore who got lost on a depth chart somewhere at a big school. It was, we're going to get a guy who's played in the big game. So Peyton Thorne comes in here, veteran guy, and what is that supposed to mean? He's cool under pressure. He's played in the big game. Three-year starter now, three-year starter at the Power Five. He's done this. And at worst, absolute worst, if you bust it on Peyton Thorne realistically, this guy should just be Auburn's version of a game manager and just does what he needs to do and keeps the mistakes down to a minimum, but is not scared of the moment and has ice water in his veins. Well, let's talk about the reality of that. Peyton Thorne has now been in here and is looking like, and granted the talent discrepancy is there, so it's a little too soon to make this take, but looks like two completely different players at home and on the road. Kind of reminds us of some other quarterbacks we've seen at Auburn recently. And that is to be expected to a certain extent. But when you've got a guy that has this much experience and has played in some hostile Big Ten road games, you expect more than that. He cannot be the quarterback who looks like he's got the jitters right when he comes out of the tunnel. He can't be a deer in headlights the second of extra blitzers coming through the line. He's got to make the smart decisions and do what needs to be done, and none of that was happening. He played this entire game rattled. He looked rattled at Cal. The whole point of the Samford game of letting him play 3.5 quarters, which typically against a team like Samford, you don't let your starting quarterback do, might I add. Hey, let's get him the reps. Maybe we kind of screwed him up a little bit with doing a little too much Robbie Peyton rotation. Let's him stay in there versus Samford, get those reps, get familiarity with the receiver, with the line, everything he needed to do, and get his confidence up. Well, if you thought at any point he took any strides forwards with that, rewind all of those for this game, and then just punt it as far backwards as you can. It was an awful, awful quarterback showing, something you would have expected from somebody who was a first-year starter, who was quite young, and maybe not necessarily quite that talented, because there was nothing this game showed to prove that or would make you think that this guy had experience. He had his head screwed on, thinking on a swivel. None of it was there. So the big hype that you brought him in for, you're not getting any of that. I mean, is he closer to the 10-win quarterback he was hyped up to be year one at Michigan State? Or are we reality set again of, oh, maybe this is actually closer to the 5-win quarterback he had at year two? Which of the two of those is the anomaly? Hey guys, just want to take a brief pause and thank the show's sponsor for today's episode, Opelika Rage Room. Yes, you heard that right. You have never had a more topical show sponsor than right here, right now. There's no doubt that after the game yesterday, that is the place that you need to be. Located on 2nd Avenue in Opelika, just outside downtown, if you're in the Auburn or Opelika area, or just passing through town for whatever reason, it is a great, fun way to blow off some steam, especially after some games that you saw like yesterday. They offer other activities such as a splatter room, which is great for all ages to go in there and have a giant paint fight in their splatter room. So yes, if days like yesterday have you in the mood that you need to smash something, just go to their website. Their booking hours are from 12 p.m. to 10 o'clock every day of the week. So no matter what the occasion is, it is a great time to go there and blow some steam. And thank you for sponsoring today's episode. The timing could not have been any better. But a few things that I noticed when I was just watching a few game clips on this is Peyton Thorne was just eye-locking his receiver right at snap. Just the first read. Just bam, his neck was turned, just staring. I saw multiple plays of that. And that is also another thing an experienced quarterback like that cannot and should not do. That's a rookie mistake. That's not a 3-year starter at the Power 5 level mistake. But we need to be objective with all this. The Texas A&M D-line to Auburn offensive line matchup was absolutely awful for Auburn. Got to give Texas A&M credit where they're due. Their front seven is incredibly talented. That is probably right up there with UGA talent on that front seven. This was always going to be a horrific matchup for Auburn in the trenches. And where I kind of sit there and scratching my head looking at the coaches say, where was the game plan for this? And a lot of people, there's a big debate over game plan and scheme and play calling, et cetera, et cetera. And at first, it seemed like it was doing fine. It was just the fact that Peyton was not hitting wide open guys. You had the pass to Jay Fair that has been talked about ad nauseum. And there were multiple other plays, or if you get those zoomed out shots, and what I would do to watch some All-22 film of this game. But multiple times, there was an open guy and just not making eye contact with him. Not even getting the throw off to him. You didn't even have a chance to get it. So, all of those things considered, why was he missing those easy throws? Well, once Texas A&M realized he wasn't hitting it, they started bringing in the heat a little bit more. They were bringing an extra guy on a lot of plays the later we got into that game, and just went from rattled to rattleder. I don't know if that's a word or not. Probably not. But I don't know if there are words to describe how bad that performance looked overall. So we're going to make some up for it. And then once that happened, the point of open guys getting the ball off, it was done. There was no chance to get the ball off. They were just taking sacks. It was pretty evident that the mental side of where Peyton was that game was beyond fixing in that particular day. And that matchup up front very likely had to be a good part of that. Once A&M realized they could just bully him around, they did. And why there was no adjustments or game plan for saying, hey, this matchup is going to be a nightmare for us. Is there anything we can do to get this ball east-west, any slants down the middle, jet sweeps, or anything to keep them off their toes and keep them from just barreling down the middle and getting to the quarterback? I don't know. I'm not a coach. I'm sure that will hopefully be asked at the press conference to Hugh Freeze on Monday. But the thing that blew my mind, did not see it coming, and the stats were there, is Auburn was running the ball just fine on them. How and why, who knows, but the problem is you have the running game now, the thing that had been kind of struggling to click for the most part, relatively speaking, and you've got it against the best front seven that you've faced thus far and likely will face about near all year, and there's just not even a slight glimpse of just you're under 10 completed passes for 56 yards to even complement that throughout the entirety of the game. And it's not like you look and say, well, guys, we're just it like the Georgia game last year. You'd look and be like, well, somebody was glued to one of Auburn's receivers. They couldn't get open. Yeah, the talent gap there. What was Robbie supposed to do that game? There's no one to throw to. Not the case here. Texas A&M's secondary is their absolute weak point. And on top of that, you saw there were open guys, so the just quarterback couldn't get the ball to them. And there were still no adjustments. I, like I said, did not see any adjustments to get that fixed. So what does that mean for quarterbacks moving forward? Well, I want to talk about Robbie and Holden real quick, and then we'll get into that. A lot of people are having some pretty hot takes for what is going to happen with Robbie and what is going to happen with Holden. And honestly here, I don't think there is enough game film from this game, enough opportunities for anybody to have a very strong opinion one way or another. And that is definitely going to be a hot take. A lot of people probably will not agree with that. Robbie had four passes. One was completed, one was a miscom, and two were just dropped 50-50 balls that were very much within play of the receiver to make. They just didn't make it. And honestly, the receivers didn't do the quarterbacks any favors when they really had the opportunity to get the ball their way. It just stinks. Takes the wind out of the sails. But there we are. And then by the point Robbie got in, he did make a few plays with his legs, but they were just still absolutely bringing the house on him. I mean, there was that one sack he got toward the end of a series. I mean, it looked like they brought all 11 plus Jimbo Fisher on the field again. Robbie was just absolutely swallowed. And at that point, they were just picking their play. I mean, the Auburn's line was gassed. The mismatch was absolutely happening. And it came to a point in that game where I was texting somebody. I said, this is not even a – it's to the point where – just try to get out of there with no injuries. I mean, I just don't know if there's anything. They are just so – everybody is so rattled. And by the time Holden gets in there, he was, yes, throwing the ball around. But at that point, it is just Texas A&M. It's garbage time. They're playing their defense. They're ready to get out of there too. And then also the other thing with these two guys is why it is just not fair to make any sort of comparison. They're not getting one-team reps. This design of the offense is designed around Peyton. He is the guy. He has been the guy. The design was to make it for him. So moving forward, what to be done? And that is the hot debate. And everybody has an opinion on it. And the only ones that matter are obviously the coaches. But I'll just throw in my two cents from something I've thought about and just seeing posted other places. But it seems to me, and granted, the coaches could do whatever they want. We will see. I just don't see how it makes any sense to make any sort of quarterback transition going into Georgia. I mean, that is just, hey, you know what, congratulations, you're the guy, and walk right in there to the slaughter. That isn't, it's just not going to be good for anybody. And no one wants to hear this, but going into Georgia, I don't really think there is a winning scenario, because if there's any game this season that Auburn should lose, well, there it is. So I really think on this one, you got to ride this out with Peyton. You really got to get to the bottom of this and say, hey, here's your chance to turn this around. I don't think anybody should be looking at Peyton or any other quarterback expecting him to beat Georgia. But can you look serviceable? Can you give people thinking, okay, there's hope. He had his bumps those first two away games. He can really get back to it. And then if he's not, I think the time to make the big, tough decisions is going into the bye week, split up those one reps and say, all right, who's the guy that we go to next? That is a debate that will be going on and on. Don't want to get into that too much thus far, because until they really make something happen, no point in talking about hypotheticals. So let's go to the big, big picture here. Is this a time to panic or not to panic? Because a lot of people got very emotional. You can imagine social media, message boards, any other platform of team, game, water cooler chat was just absolutely wild. And I'm going to give my two cents on that as well. I don't think for this game, and this may be a hot take, I think there's some reason to panic. But overall, probably not. As I mentioned earlier with the quarterback situation and why you would think that being offensively minded should be the staff strength, Hugh Freeze's strength, it does kind of make you wonder, like, how did we get here? But also, I think large, big picture perspective is very, very important and understand what they inherited and how short of a time they had to get all this fixed. So for the most part, Auburn had been pretty riding high for quite some time. This is the first loss. The first loss always going to be tough. First loss into a new coaching change, always going to be tough. So where it really is here, and I had talked about this a few weeks ago when I was on with Mike G, I had said, after the Cal game, I said, is this the end of the honeymoon? And there was a little bit of debate of that, honeymoon phase. I think it is very much safe to say the honeymoon phase is over. And that is not bad. That doesn't mean the marriage is over. It doesn't mean the marriage can't be long and happy and plentiful. But just everything being sunshines and rainbows versus the reality of the tough life situations are starting to hit. The bills got to get paid. Things are what they are. The issues with the roster did get improved with the transfer portal, but they're still there. There are some gaps on this team where depth is a problem. And then, of course, there's injuries that can exacerbate those even more at certain positions. If Peyton Thorne does end up to be a bust at Auburn and the backup quarterbacks cannot seem to get the job done and help take Auburn to the next level, it's going to be a tough year. But the hope of this team and everything moving forward is surrounded by, predicated upon, getting the recruits to Auburn. The recruiting has been going very strong, and that was fundamentally the problem with Brian Harsin. There were improvements from Gus Malzahn. You saw what was happening while Bo Nix was healthy. It really seemed like things were going in the right direction, and then the play on the field completely derailed. And then as far as the recruiting goes, it's really hard to say that the recruiting derailed because the train never left the station. So at that point, there was no reason to even think there was any sort of semblance of a future with Brian Harsin there. You saw no results on the field, and we're going to beat the phrase Jimmies and Joes to death, but there was no Jimmies and there were no Joes coming in. So what is Hugh Freeze doing? He was bringing in the guys, and he's still bringing in the guys. So what's going to happen from this year? You still want to win. You want to get every momentum swing that you can get. But the future, and why I say the reason not to panic, is going to be leaned upon that recruiting and just the effort that the staff is making, the fans are making to show up and cheer and be loud and give these guys a reason to say, wow, this is a place I'm going to wear that orange and blue uniform one day. Reason to panic, as I aforementioned, if the quarterback play doesn't get any better and things start going backwards, there's going to be some growing pains. Don't want to be too doom and gloom here. It was already a rough weekend for everybody. Don't want to make it any worse. But you don't want to feel like you're going backwards. Maybe you're not leaping forwards, or maybe you're just kind of stalling in place and spinning your wheels. But if you feel like you're going backwards in any instance that's not related to an injury, that's a little bit of a concern. And did Auburn go backwards this game, seemingly? Yeah, I would say so. And especially that quarterback position, the most noticeable place it could happen, it happened. And that's definitely going to give people some reason to panic. And there was a lot of people spitting out a whole bunch of information. Is the offense going to adjust? Are we evaluating quarterback? Just all of the bad narratives that were spewing out there, that was there. I would urge everybody just to calm down and say, hey, it was a game. And also buckle up because you got Georgia coming up. You got a lot of tough games coming up with LSU as well. Ole Miss didn't beat Alabama, but they were looking chippy. Even Arkansas put up a heck of a game against LSU. It's going to be a tough, tough gauntlet coming up here. So this is where the team's got to look up and decide, hey, what are we going to do? And you got to trust the coaching staff to make those decisions. And sometimes a loss is a good reality check. They didn't lose to Cal. It came close. They wanted to. They tried. They pulled it out at the end. But the situation here is they've got a lot of aspects they can work on, and really what's going to test Hugh Freeze and that wall of adversity is what's he going to do. So what is the path moving forward? And that's where we're going to wrap this up at, is what does Auburn have to do to right the ship? And when I say right the ship, that doesn't mean, all right, well, it's 11 win season, we got that one loss out of the way. What do you do that's a realistic righting of the ship? Well, on the quarterback situation, I think that's figuring that out by the bye week. If you turn it around to Peyton Thorne, I am going to say that is probably best case scenario. Long term riding the ship, I think you got to look at the entirety of the quarterback room and say, well, Peyton Thorne's got another year of eligibility after this. Holden and Robbie have a good bit after that. Do we feel that with the state of the quarterback room the way it is, do we ride with any of these guys here? Probably, if things pan out a certain way, you could be looking at one or multiple transfers. Do we have to look in another quarterback coming in the next year? Do we have to do this whole thing all over again? That is going to be a big question that is probably going to seem a lot more clear as the weeks come on, but that's a very important position, and you don't want to have that happen. I think you got to feel good about the run game, but obviously it seems like Damari Austin could be out for some time, depending upon what the details are of what happened from his shoulder. Wish him nothing but the best. The rushing was never the problem. They got guys in there. Don't think you even got to worry about that. But the big thing they got to figure out is just making sure, hey, this offense is something that we can turn around, is something we can work on, it's something that we can adjust. In the scheme, the game plan, don't have people constantly scratching their heads and say, what was that? And that's very much what happened with A&M. And if that starts happening, you're going to see a lot of unrest from the fans. And don't want to get into the downhill spiral of all the things that that causes, but that's going to be the path to moving forward. And also, of course, on the field, because I think defense is fine. They seem to be improving. I mean, really, I just think the big thing here is just getting this quarterback situation figured out. And then look in the receiver and say, hey, when you do get the ball, even if it's a rare chance, just come down with it. Just make that play. Help shift the momentum in your favor. But I digress. And then, of course, the icing on the cake is get those recruits in there. Keep the guys coming. Try to get a serviceable amount of wins this season. I think a realistic number, I think, still is within 7 wins. I don't think that is out of reach at all for this team. And then, honestly, bowl win. I mean, I know it has been said, and it has been just something that Auburn has just absolutely just laid an egg with for the last decade. It's just winning those bowl games. And at the end of the hall, do they matter, et cetera, et cetera? Well, at this point where momentum is king, you got peak transfer portal season going on there. Roll with all the momentum that you can get. Take it and run with it into the offseason. Because if they can do the right things this year just enough, I don't think there's anything to worry about. It was just a bad game, and hopefully just a wake-up call for them. So that's going to conclude this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming in this week for the Georgia week. Going to have a lot of fun, exciting show guests. Going to do a lot of breakdowns. Going to cover the history of the Auburn-Georgia rivalry, long-term and short-term, and talk about how did this rivalry get away from Auburn in the last 15 years. And what are some things that Auburn can do to actually swing the pendulum back in their favor with that? That included with some game previews of what this matchup could look like, keys to success for Auburn. I know that sounds funny coming off this, but we're still going to talk about it. So guys, looking forward to seeing you guys for the next episodes this upcoming week. Thank you all for listening. Hey guys, if you like this episode of Auburn Daily, please do us a favor, like, review, subscribe to this podcast. It helps us out so, so much. Of course, you can find Auburn Daily on Twitter at The Auburn Daily. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Auburn Memes, as well as Instagram, to follow and keep up with the latest of everything that's going on here. Thank you guys again so much for tuning into the episode.